This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. This story has multiple parts. To listen to the entire story in one place, visit talltaletv.com/series. Of Tyrants and Teakettles by Leslie Heron. Chapter 11, Berberis. Running down filthy back alleys, vaulting over piles of rubbish, and chasing after her naked brother left Piper to say she was definitely not having the best of mornings.
"Come on, Grandad, I know a shortcut."
She took a sharp left and slid over the copper hood of an old abandoned car, inadvertently buffing away some of the green corrosion as she did. Anger battled with relief inside her head, so much so that she was just as likely to strangle her sibling as hug him when they caught up. Her feet slammed hard into the weathered cobblestone road as she sprinted off into another alley, doing her best to cut off the horde of angry dragon women. Vel skid to a stop at the rusty vehicle. He looked at the obstacle with a heavy sigh. Fresh out of surgery was not the ideal shape for chasing after someone. He watched the girl disappear down another alleyway and let out a growl of frustration. If he didn't catch up, he would lose his only guide on this backwards realm. Using his frustration, Vel slammed his mechanical hand under the wheel well of the vehicle and cranked back with his elbow. The force caused the car to shift just enough for him to squeeze between it and the wall. He trotted down the empty street and rounded the corner. Piper was standing there, determining the best way to scale a chain-link fence that blocked their path. A moment of relief washed over him as Vel hobbled up behind her.
"What was that all about?"
Piper stuck her fingers through the holes and gave the entire fence a violent shake. It rattled noisily in the quiet of the alley, but did not give.
"I don't know, but I'm not surprised. We gotta catch up to him, but this stupid..."
She gave it a frustrated kick.
"Fence is in my way."
Vel smiled a little as he grabbed a hold of the chain linking and pulled. The supports began to buckle, and metal fasteners popped off, flying in all directions as the fencing tore away from its foundation. He let go of the remnants when the gap was wide enough for them to get through and gestured for her to go first, before following closely behind. Piper ducked down another darkened alley, completely void of any light, and made her way by touch until she found what she was looking for. They could hear the clamorous horde making their way down a nearby street as she pushed against a small red door to a building that had been squished between two larger ones. Light spilled out into the darkness, followed closely by a whirlwind of strong, aromatic scents. A smile broke over her face as she ducked inside, tugging on the sleeve of her companion's coat to usher him in behind her. Vel didn't need to see the tables piled high with miscellaneous garments or the mountains of random fabric to recognize where they were. He had sussed out that mystery by the waves of putrid smell that had hit him before he had even stepped inside. As they clambered their way through the tight quarters, he had even spotted the military jacket he had traded the day before, displayed proudly on a lopsided mannequin. From some unseen back room, Vel could hear the sound of tiny feet scurrying toward them to greet the potential new customer. Before the old woman could reach them, Piper had thrown open the front door and pulled him outside with her. The silence of the fabric-insulated shop erupted into an explosion of screams and curses as the horde of dragon women chased their quarry. Angry shop owners added to the din with their own boisterous complaints of destroyed merchandise and lost product. Still naked and still screaming, Atticus was there, front and center of the mob. One hand was flailing in fear, the other clinging to his hat for dear life. Piper looked up at Vel.
"I'm gonna make a distraction. Get ready to help."
Before he could even respond, she melted into the crowd of people, disappearing into the shadows and folds of the bustling street like a ghost. Vel redirected his attention to the scrawny little man streaking in his direction, completely at a loss as to how he could defuse the massive mob of escorts that trailed the figure like a pack of scantily clad attack dogs. As Atticus drew close, skirting around the exotic pet vendor, a large stack of birdcages seemed to lean over of their own accord. They crashed to the ground in a tumultuous explosion of dust, feathers, squawking, and animals scattering in a mad attempt to escape their captivity. The frontmost line of dragon women skid to a halt, but the mob behind them had either not seen the spectacle or simply could not stop in time, and the ensuing chaos left several dozen women sprawled out, cursing at one another and fending off varied creatures. Vel looked around for Piper and her brother as the stall owner began shouting at the mob, but he saw no sign of them. He swiveled around in time to see the door to the clothing boutique click shut. The horde of dragon women recovered quickly, now joined by several irate merchants, their eyes scanning the street for the nude menace. Vel was pushed aside by a large, angry woman as she made her way towards the shop entrance. In panic, he chose a random direction, pointed, and shouted,
"He went that way! Get him!"
The mob surged in the direction he had indicated, crashing like a force of nature toward the far end of the market. Vel slowly stepped backward, doing his best to blend in with the bystanders and duck into the shop without being noticed. The door clicked into place behind him, and he turned to be greeted by the dark-skinned, bare ass of a young man bent double trying to catch his breath.
"Whoa!"
Atticus pulled his hat off, using it to fan his face as he straightened up, looking to thank whoever it was that had just saved him.
"Ow! Aye, Piper!"
Vel was trying to look anywhere but forward, and was about to suggest that they find the boy something to wear when the ominous sounds of scuttling feet finally reached them.
"Hello, welcome to... Hey! No nude boys!"
The familiar voice broke over them with unabashed fury. Vel looked down at the little old dragon woman. She gave him a small wink, and he was certain he had heard her mumble,
"Except for you, handsome."
A cold shudder ran down his spine, and he tried to look away, only to find that field of view more lunar in nature than was altogether comfortable. He settled by looking straight up at the ceiling.
"Relax, Granny. He's me brother."
Piper gestured a wave at the old woman, as if to shoo her away.
"Oh."
The old woman nodded slowly, running her fingers down her chin in a thoughtful way. She gave a slight shrug and returned her hand back to her walking stick.
"Well, in that case..."
She raised the cane and slapped Piper in her shin with it.
"No nude boys!"
Piper danced in place, screaming obscenities and rubbing the red welt developing on her shin. Vel lowered his eyes just enough to study the boy's face. Without even prompting it, his AI began running a facial recognition scan and compared it to one he had on file of Attila. Structurally speaking, they were almost identical. There were a few differences. The dark skin, amber eyes, and yellow-gold hair were dead giveaways that this was not the same individual. But he seemed to share the same wiry frame, goofy smile, and even a love of ridiculous hats. Unsure how something like this could happen, Vel chalked it up to the universe having some sort of grudge against him. With a sigh, he snatched a random article of clothing off a stack and thrust it into Atticus's arms. Piper shooed away the old woman again, returning her attention to her brother. She started to move in to hug him, then remembered his state of undress and compromised by gripping his shoulders affectionately.
"Atticus, I was so worried. I've been trying my hardest to get back to you. I was worried something horrible might happen to you."
Atticus, oblivious to the clothing being pressed into his hands, gave a dismissive wave.
"Just as said you'd be back. I'm so happy to see you. But you shouldn't have worried. I'm fine."
Vel held out a second article of clothing, seeing as the boy had failed to apply the first.
Yeah, except the angry mob that was just chasing you.
The old woman piped up again.
Why are you not listening? No nude boys.
Ignoring her, Piper nodded in agreement.
He's right. What did you do to make them so angry?
Atticus absentmindedly took the colorful blouse from Vel's hand and tucked it under his arm with the other.
Good question. I'm not exactly sure. I guess it started when I ventured into this district looking for some ridiculously obscure sciencey thing, and this woman asked me if I was looking for a trick.
Vel groaned a little internally as he tried to hand the boy yet another garment. Piper watched the growing number of clothes building in her brother's arms.
Please tell me that you didn't.
Atticus shrugged.
Well, you know how much I love magic tricks. Rabbits popping out of hats, disappearing rings, bowling cups, the whole shebang.
A wistful smile broke over his face as he recalled the memory.
So she sits me down on a bed in this back room, and at first I was super excited. I mean, how often does a magician give you a private showing? But as it turns out, she wasn't that great at magic, because she just started taking off me clothes. I kept hoping she was gonna make them disappear or something.
Piper sighed, pushing her palm against her forehead.
Then she started taking off her own clothes, and I got really confused. When she was done, she just stood there, like the trick was over, looking at me expectantly. I told her the trick wasn't very good. That's when she got angry.
Despite himself, Vel couldn't choke down the laugh as it escaped painfully through his nose.
She told me to pay and get out, so I told her I know an old guy down the street that does a better job for free.
Atticus shrugged.
She got really, really mad at me, and I was forced to jump out the window. And that's when they started chasing me.
The old woman's scales had turned a bright, angry red.
What a lovely story, and one that is best finished outside.
She looked up at the growing number of garments one of them was holding and grumbled,
First, you pay for those. Then you leave.
Atticus looked down at the massive pile of clothing he had somehow accrued in his arms and gave a sheepish laugh.
Oh, I don't have any money back. No pockets.
Piper grimaced.
You know, I gave the rest of those pearls to Chester so he'd be willing to call the doc.
They both looked over to Vel.
Don't look at me. All I've got is pocket lint, worthless credits, and a grubby toothbrush.
He pulled a face and gave a lazy shrug. The old woman narrowed her tiny eyes. A scowl was forming on her face as she raised her cane once more.
Out, 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 out!
She repeatedly rapped them all hard on the shins until they exited her shop. The moment they had stepped over the threshold, she adopted a warm smile and a pleasant manner.
Pleasure doing business. Don't come back!
And she slammed the door behind them. Atticus pulled his hat off his head and held it in front of him, both sets of cheeks growing red in embarrassment.
So what now?
Piper slapped her brother in the arm.
What in the name of Avis would you think that a working woman was going to show you magic tricks?
She continued slapping him in the same spot, causing Atticus to try and fend her off with his hat. Vel grabbed her hand and pulled her back.
Let's not cause another scene.
He gestured with a nod of his head to the growing throng of onlookers, curious about the naked boy being beaten by a woman.
Here.
He slid his arms out of his coat and handed the garment over to the boy.
Put this on and cover your shame.
Atticus looked at Vel, really noticing him for the first time. He took the oversized jacket with a warm smile.
Thanks.
He turned to Piper and whispered,
Who's the old guy?
Hey!
Vel frowned, folding his arms in a huff. Piper snatched the coat from Atticus and started helping him into it.
He's a friend. Now put this on.
The entire thing was, simply put, too big for him. But it did accomplish, as the older man had so politely put it, to cover his shame. Atticus wrapped it around himself like a bathrobe, held it in place with one of the dozens of pointless buckles, put his hat back on his head, and turned towards Vel.
Wow! What are the odds we would share the same size? This is great! Thank you! Whoa!
His eyes went wide as dinner plates as he caught the glint of light shining off the man's prosthetic arm.
What is this?
He reached out, wrapping his hand around the prosthetic, and pulled it closer to his face to inspect it.
Is this steam-powered? No? No? What is this? Electric? But the power supply will have to be huge! What does it run on?
He pushed his ear against the man's forearm.
I can't even hear any clockwork! This is amazing!
Vel's face formed a line, no longer positive that this wasn't Attila. He lifted his mechanical arm, pulling the attached Atticus off his feet by an inch.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Get off.
There you are!
All three of them turned at the sound of a masculine voice and hurried footsteps coming in their direction. A man in a blood-red long coat was shoving his way through the crowd. Piper grabbed her brother and pulled him a step back, while Vel stepped out in front of the pair, adopting a defensive stance. The blood coat had a saber at his side, but Vel couldn't see any firearms. The man slowed to a stop in front of them, leaning over to catch his breath.
Oh, thank the powers I found ya. Captain Bullgrinder would have had me bits for breakfast if I lost ye again. You forgot something back at the bordello, sir.
As the individual held out a messy bundle of clothing, Piper turned to hiss a question in Atticus's ear.
Do you know this man?
Atticus laughed as he pulled away from his sister.
Oh, sure. This is just Al.
He reached for his clothes. Al snapped into a straight-backed salute.
Alphonse McGreenley, at your service.
Official introduction finished, he relaxed into what seemed like his natural slouch.
I'm in charge of watching this one here, and making sure you don't blow nothing up. And you are. His sister.
Piper gave the guard a wary look before quietly addressing her brother.
Do you have somewhere we could talk?
She nodded her head in Al's direction.
Privately.
Atticus, who was hopping around trying to pull on a sock, looked up as his face broke into a wide grin.
Oh, sure. We can head back to my shop. You're gonna love it.
Piper shook her head.
We can't. We're not allowed in the university.
Al gave a snort of a laugh.
Not to worry. They don't let him on the grounds neither. Follow me.
Atticus ran up to walk beside Al, detailing his recent adventure in public nudity, to which Al was the perfect audience, laughing or commiserating at all the right parts. Vel and Piper gave each other a worried look before falling in line behind them. The shop, as Atticus had described it, turned out to be an abandoned military airship hangar. The walls were towering and built from thick concrete. The roof was impossibly high, and the rafters home to a brood of bird-like creatures. The windows that lined the upper walls let in beams of sunlight, which glittered across the many piles of copper panels, gears, wires, glass containers, and half-finished projects. There were overturned tables, broken chairs, discarded tires, and on the piles of junk seemed to spread. Like little mounds of engineering chaos, they filled the entire generous floor space, save for a small path that led to a room off to one side. It looked like an office that had been retrofitted into a small living quarters. Vel actually gave a little sniffle as a pang of homesickness washed over him. The place reminded him of his own junkyard/workshop back home.
Once they started keeping the entire Navy docked on the giant warships, this place was left to rot,
Al explained.
They sent young Atticus here after he destroyed his first three dormitories.
Atticus scoffed noisily as he began removing wires and pipes off a nearby workbench.
It was only two.
Begging your pardon, sir, but it was three. You blew up your dormitory twice and set fire to the research wing. They had to rebuild it. Piper raised an eyebrow. They let him destroy three whole rooms and didn't kick him out?
Al shrugged.
Yeah, can't blame him none for keeping him, though. He turns out more gizmos than half the professors combined. True, most of them are a bit useless.
He gestured at a large copper tea kettle that was trundling by them on a pair of spindly articulated legs.
But enough of them can be repurposed to make the bigwigs think twice about canning him.
Storm cloud seemed to grow behind Piper's eyes as she gave Al a dark look.
You're some kind of god, right?
Al nodded.
Yeah.
Piper reached out and forcibly spun him around, shoving him out the door.
Then go god something. I need to talk to me brother.
She slammed the door behind him, cutting off his affronted protests. Piper whirled on Atticus.
You have no idea how worried I've been. Everything I went through to get back to you. And the moment I find you, you're all cozied up to the same people that split us apart.
Her words were laden with anger, but a hint of anguish carried with them. Atticus, who had never once lost his goofy smile since they had reunited, slowly moved through expressions of surprise, shock, and finally devastation.
But Chester said
that I'd be back.
She was on the point of tears now.
I nearly died out there, and it's not your fault. I would never blame you. But I thought I taught you better than that. Those men.
She gestured angrily towards the door she had exiled Al through.
Are using you, just like Chester is using you.
Atticus shuffled his feet.
But they're my friends.
Piper reached out and hauled her brother into an embrace.
I tried so hard to get to you before they did. I just...
She buried her face in his neck.
I'm here now. We'll get you away from the college somehow.
Atticus patted her on the back.
It's okay, Piper. I'm sure you'll like them once you know them.
Piper shoved him away, fury and heartbreak warring in her eyes. She raised her hand again, fighting with herself over slapping her frustration away. But at the look of confusion in her brother's face, she lowered her hand. It wasn't his fault. He was just easily manipulated. The next time she saw Chester, she thought, she would give him another piece of her mind. She breathed out angrily through her nostrils and stomped off toward the living quarters. She threw open the door and slammed it shut behind her. Velen Atticus stood in stunned silence for several long minutes. Atticus leaned towards Vel.
So, can I take a look at your arm now?
Of Tyrants and Tea Kettles is book two of the ongoing Psy Fantasy series by author Leslie Herron. Join us as the adventure unfolds, with new chapters releasing every few weeks.
Hey, come on now. Let me back in. Please. Well, how do you like that? I watch over her brother for the last 3 months. She kicks me outside like a dog with a bladder issue. I tell ya, no respect these days. I'm an officer for crying out loud. No respect. Can you at least make me a sandwich or something while you're in there? Maybe a pickle? Hello?